Welcome to the Women's Fitness and Health Revolution podcast. There is so much noise on the interweb these days about what women should and shouldn't be doing when it comes to their fitness and health. Not only is it all too often tied to shame and fixing our bodies, it can also be incredibly detrimental to our health and wellness overall. The Women's Fitness and Health Revolution podcast sorts through the BS and offers advice and actionable, tactile steps to support and build a better relationship to your amazing body through every stage of womanhood. It aims to break the cycle of keeping women in the dark about their extraordinary machines and revolutionize the way we move, eat, and live so that our daughters and our daughters' daughters look in the mirror and feel exactly what they are: fierce, beautiful, and capable of everything. The revolution starts here. Hello, 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 and welcome to the Women's Fitness and Health Revolution podcast. I'm your host, Kinsey, and I am all sorts of excited to dive into today's topic. But first, the day I am recording this is my mom's birthday, so I'm going to go ahead and take a quick pause for all of you to yell at your speaker a belated happy birthday to Shelly. Okay, ready? Here you go. You guys crushed that. Thank you so much. And happy birthday, Mom. I love you. Okay, without further ado, I'm so pumped because I had a question come in at the end of last week and I loved it. P.S. If you have any of your own questions about health, fitness, perimenopause prep, etc., shoot them on over to Kinsey at RaiderFitAcademy.com, and I'm going to go ahead and answer them on this here podcast. So a big shout out to Linda for coming in hot with this, what ended up being a two-part question, because I don't think this question gets asked enough because there's so much misinformation out there that we oftentimes think we already know the answer to it. So again, a big thank you for taking the time to A, reach out, and B, for thinking critically about your approach to health and fitness and wellness. So the question originally was, do you have any recommendations for jogging as a beginner? You bet your buttons I do. And I love this question. I don't actually think I've covered it in this podcast, but I was shouting it from the rooftops on my Insta for a while last year, and that is the fact that, contrary to popular belief, running is not a beginner's exercise. So enter myth bust part one. I think we probably all know a person or people, or very likely it's ourselves, who made the choice to start exercising and chose running. And on the surface, this makes a ton of sense. It's free. You don't have to travel anywhere. You can do it on your own, and you can literally take it with you wherever you go. Not to mention, literally every movie of someone becoming a total baddie has some sort of training sequence where the person is running and dripping sweat and looking like they're going to take on the world and win. And I don't know about you, but I'm a sucker for a training montage. Personally, I really enjoyed starting to train running last year when I was training for my obstacle course races, which, side note, I learned a lot about training for running the hard way during that time, which we can save for a later episode. If you're interested in hearing that, just shoot me that email at kinsey@raiderfitacademy.com and we can go down that rabbit hole. But the truth of the matter is, running, even though it checks all of the aforementioned boxes, is a power exercise. You are literally jumping from one leg to the other over and over and over again in rapid succession. Your body not only has to have the strength to launch through a single leg squat, it needs to have the adapted bone mass, the mechanics, and the stability to land using your quads and not putting stress on your foot, ankle, knee, and or hip. So if you are someone who looks at people doing burpees and you say that they're crazy, my unpopular opinion and argument is that people who run are doing a lot of the same thing, but on one leg, in a more challenging direction, and for a long AF time. And before I get too far in, I want you to know this is not going to be an anti-running podcast. As I mentioned, I am a big fan of running myself now, but as always, I want you to walk away with actual science and information before making any choices, especially if you want to start running because you're trying to use it as a weight loss tool. And I have a lot I'm going to share about that. Because it's one thing if you love running or you want to run a race or a distance as a goal, It's another if you're going off the pop culture old school belief that running is the ideal way to train for weight loss. So the way we're going to break it down today is I'm going to start by debunking the myth that running is your go-to for weight loss. And then once you have all of the information I have to share on that, if you're still excited about running, I love that for you. I'm going to give you some information and practical tips on how to start running and how to do it safely. So back in episode 6 of this podcast, we talked about fat loss versus muscle gain as a weight loss tool. And a lot of the principles will be similarly echoed here in a little bit more depth, specifically as they pertain to running. And there are several big issues with relying solely on running for weight loss. For a long time, the common solution to weight loss was less calories, as in less food, and more cardio, especially when people were talking about weight loss with women. Unfortunately, well, honestly, I don't know. I feel kind of like it's a fortunate thing. That isn't how it works. If you have weight to lose and you start running, you would definitely see an initial drop in weight. But at least 25% of that weight loss, probably more in most cases, comes from lean muscle mass. And studies have actually shown that when people drop those initial 10 pounds of weight loss from running and calorie cutting, 4 to 5 of those 10 pounds are coming straight from muscle, which, as we've learned time and again on this podcast, is a huge problem when it comes to metabolism, our immune system, hormone health, healthy aging, smooth perimenopause transition, and so much more. And the reason for this is that running is a catabolic form of exercise. Anabolic is to build up, catabolic is to break down. And it can and does break down our muscles for fuel and limiting energy expenditure. Bringing us to the very first issue I have and science has with running as a form of weight loss. We need our lean muscle mass for a lot of things. But when it comes to weight loss, not only is it our most calorically expensive tissue, meaning that the higher amount of lean muscle mass we have, the higher amount of calories we burn daily just by existing. But lean muscle mass also helps to regulate our blood sugar by using the glucose in our blood without the help of insulin, which is great news if we're struggling with insulin resistance and can be a major factor in restabilizing our blood sugar levels and resensitizing our insulin receptors. But when we run, our body burns through the glucose in our blood for energy, and then it needs to turn to another source, so it starts to break down our muscles into glucose once the original source is depleted. As a result, over time, running actually can lead to the breakdown of our precious lean muscle tissue. And mini spoiler, because we will be talking about this later, but if you are running for the love of the sport, please make sure that you're cross-training with strength training to combat that tissue breakdown. I heard a little while back about a study in an interview with Sal DiStefano, who is an experienced personal trainer and co-founder of Mind Pump Media. Really brilliant guy. And this study was an exceptional example of how incredibly adaptive our bodies are. In this study, scientists followed the Hadza tribe, who are modern hunter-gatherers in northern Tanzania. They are extremely active. So hunter-gatherer, they're on their feet all day long, and they're extremely active compared especially to the average Westerner. Through testing, the scientists studied their metabolic rates to see how many calories these modern hunter-gatherers, who some days would run up to 10 miles just hunting and then chasing down an animal, how many calories they would burn. When talking about the results, in his own words, Sal stated, "The results are initially shocking, but make a lot of sense when you consider evolution. The results show that the Hadza tribe's people burned similar amounts of calories to the Western couch potato. They burned similar amounts of calories walking and running miles upon miles a day as a Western couch potato." How is that possible? He goes on to say, well, if you consider evolution, it makes no sense that the body would allow you through activity to burn 6,000 calories a day, when it would be impossible to find 6,000 calories to consume in nature. And quick side note, we obviously live in an environment where finding 6,000 calories to consume is no problem, but our biology, our insides, the way that our digestive tract work, it hasn't caught up to our environment yet. It still works from a place of preserving energy as if we were still hunting and gathering. This is a case that we haven't talked about here, but where our external environment evolved way faster than our internal environment has had the chance to catch up. Anyway, back to Sal. He says, if you're living like a hunter-gatherer, finding calories is very hard to do. And that, remember, that's how our body is still responding. So our metabolism adapts to lots of activities. And herein lies the problem with choosing an exercise based solely on the calories burned on our watch. As I mentioned, we see maybe that initial 10 pounds come off when we start at first, but this is a new stressor. So after we've been doing it for a while, our brilliant body adapts to that energetic demand that we're placing on it. Before we know it, that weight loss has totally stopped and we're stuck at this plateau because in order to quote unquote survive, as our internal biology is trying to help us do, our body has made metabolic adaptations. As mentioned before, along with using muscle as a fuel source, our body also starts to pare down our lean muscle, so the body doesn't need to burn as many calories. Because remember, muscle tissue is our most calorically expensive tissue, so one way to preserve energy is to deplete muscle mass. And on top of that, our metabolism actually starts to slow down to help offset the energy spent on that activity. So putting it simply, relying solely on running reduces our muscle mass and slows our metabolism. So your watch may still be reading X amount of calories, but we're no longer burning that. We've adapted to that. Our body is amazing, really, when you think about it. That's brilliant. But it also really sucks if we're trying to lose weight or sustain a healthy lifestyle. Another factor running has against weight loss, and this actually can be attributed to high intensity in any activity, is that we get really hungry afterwards, especially when we're new. This is another area where popular culture has done us dirty with the whole no pain, no gain mentality. So many people I've worked with over the years, myself very much included in this for a long time, base the quality of their workout on how dead tired they feel after it. Especially starting out, this not only can lead to way too much stress and increased chance of injury because we're going hard before nailing the basics, it's also going to, as I said, make us feel really hungry, which oftentimes leads to overeating and unfortunately, generally overeating things that don't support our body because our body's main source of fuel is carbohydrates. So a lot of times we start to crave carbs, and this is not an anti-carb show. Carbs are really important, but a lot of times we tend to overeat things that taste really good and satisfying because we're hitting that pleasure receptor. We're getting that messaging that, oh, we're eating things to sustain energy, but we're missing out on protein, so we're not feeling fuller. It's just this huge cycle of ends up being a double whammy of eating excess calories along with eating foods that cause systemic inflammation and don't support muscle growth. And the final piece of info that I want to share with you about why I humbly advise against running as a form of weight loss is simply, as I stated before, on top of not being a great metabolic strategy, it's just not a beginner's exercise. The fact that most people think of knee and hip surgery synonymously with running is a huge problem in my book. I personally, if we're looking at fitness and health as a lifelong journey, we shouldn't normalize pain and fitness. Pain is not normal. Knee and hip replacements are not normal. That doesn't beget a long, healthy, vital life. So even if you don't run long enough to cause lasting wear and tear from improper form or lack of cross training or astronomically unnecessarily loads, the chances of getting injured as a beginner are just too high in my book to be worth it. I've seen way too many well-intentioned folks finally feel motivated and inspired to take on fitness for the first time in their lives, only to fall out of it because of injury and either struggle getting back into it at all or just plain deciding that fitness isn't for them. And so now they've handicapped themselves majorly for the rest of their lives when it comes to not only a vibrant second chapter come menopause, but they start struggling with a slew of health issues from diabetes to insomnia to crippling anxiety and depression in the meantime. And you, my friend, deserve to feel incredible and healthy in your body. And if losing weight is a part of getting you there, I want nothing more for you, which is why I want you informed so you can approach it the right way without wasting your time or burning yourself out or, most importantly, blaming yourself. So for more info on the benefits of strength training and building muscle to help with weight loss, please definitely go back and revisit episode 6 with a notebook in hand. I will go ahead and drop the link to that podcast in the show notes. And then, okay, I have one last thing that I'm going to say about running and weight loss, because I know that one or a few of you may be thinking this, and that's totally fair. I said cross training, so what about running with weightlifting for weight loss? If you love or even just like running, do your thing. But because of everything I mentioned before, I would much rather have you just increase your movement throughout the day. Think parking further away from your car, getting up every 60 minutes and doing some squats or walking a lap around the office, aiming for 10 to 12,000 steps a day, etc., than running. There are some pretty cool studies out there, including ones run by the baddie Dr. Stacey Sims, that show benefits to body composition for peri and postmenopausal women when it comes to zone 5 sprint training that I think are really cool. So definitely look her up, Dr. Stacey Sims sprint training. But that doesn't have to be running. It could be, but it could also safely be biking or rowing. And that isn't even just flat out running. So that's not that zone 2 sustained cardio that we hear all the time and actually works pretty well for men. But ideally for women, the goal here would be to warm up your body. And then once your body's warmed up, you push as hard as you can, getting your heart rate as high as you can for 20 to 30 seconds, and then recover, letting your heart rate fully drop, as in walk or gentle pedal or row, for 3 to 5 minutes. And you do that 15 to 20 minutes. So you end up doing that only like 3 to 5 times max. And that's like 2 times per week along with your strength training. But it's not sustained 5K running. It really ends up being a lot more in that recovery zone. You're working on that heart rate. So, okay. If you listen to all that and you're like, Kinsey, I just want to run. Just tell me how to run. I love that for you. Like I said, this is not an anti-running podcast. I myself have been a pretty big fan of running for the last, I don't know, like 2.5 years. I was not a fan of running for a long time, but I was doing it wrong. I've just seen too many folks, as I said, try to use running as their weight loss solution, only to come up injured, burned out, and or blaming themselves, when in fact, more movement in general, strength training, and upping protein go a whole heck of a lot further when it comes to weight loss. But let's go ahead and talk about how to start running the right way if you just want to run because you like to run. The first thing I want to touch on, since I already spoiled it, sorry about that, is the importance of cross training, aka strength training along with your running. And also I'm going to throw in there yoga. I'm not going to talk too much about yoga, but mobility when we're doing any kind of practice is so beneficial. But cross training, both to combat everything I chatted about with muscle loss, but also to ensure that you are running safely. So on top of what we probably guessed with leg strength, other things you'll want to focus on when you're cross training are single leg balance training, so that you avoid injury at the ankle, knee, and hip. That could be simply just starting by balancing on one leg and seeing if you can do it without hiking your hip, without wobbling. And then next you'll add on single leg strength training, so thinking lunges, split squat, TRX pistol squat, single leg deadlift. Because remember, running is a single leg power exercise. The ability to balance and support weight on each leg individually is a non-negotiable to healthy running. The last pieces of cross training you'll want to focus on are functional core, so that there's no anterior pelvic tilt where you pop your booty out, which will not only just fudge with your gait, but it's also going to contribute to crazy low back pain. And strength training with stabilizing muscles of the leg, especially around the knee, including the abductors, which is when you like lift your leg out to the side, and the AD adductors, which is when you lift your or bring your leg back to center. I actually have a couple of full length workouts on YouTube specifically for this, for runners. So I'm going to go ahead and drop those in the show notes as well. And they're great starting places. And if you wanted, they're especially great because if you wanted to start running because you're like, I don't want a gym membership, the cool thing is, especially starting out, all of this cross training can totally be done from your home. You can work your strength days in around your run days, or you can tack your strength training in at the end of your run. Whatever works best for you makes the most sense getting started. Eventually, just to look out at the future, as you start to adapt, because that's what our bodies do best, to body weight exercises, it will be majorly beneficial to invest in some at-home resistance training equipment like dumbbells and bands, or a gym membership where you have access to weights. Or as always, you know I'm going to pump up the personal trainer because they know what they're doing and they can not only get you lifting heavier, but moving with beautiful form that keeps you moving forever and ever and ever. But the thing here to remember is our body is incredibly adaptable. And that is actually what we're counting on with resistance training. We want to be stimulating our body enough with enough load that our muscle fibers and bones are forced to adapt to that load and get stronger. So at first, this is body weight. Then we can start playing with tempo or higher reps and eventually moving into weight training. Also, this is where I love to remind you that fitness is a lifelong journey and you got this. Okay, next up, make sure you are warming up your body and then cooling it back down. On top of improper form and firing mechanics, a lot of running injuries actually stem from the fact that we are sitting in most of our day and then suddenly we get up and do the opposite and then we immediately return to sitting. In other words, our bodies are sedentary and holding our hip flexors, which are the front of our thighs essentially, in an overly short position, and our glutes, our booty, in an overly lengthened position. Both of these in turn pull our skeleton out of alignment and cause improper muscles to fire at improper times. Warming up by stretching the front of our thighs and our calves, as well as activating your glutes, think things like donkey kicks and glute bridges, are great ways to get ahead of injuries and move with proper mechanics. And side note, this is also the exact same reasoning why it's so important to warm up regardless of whatever kind of exercise we're going to be doing, / why we should just kind of be stretching in general more often. Cooling down, in turn, helps to lengthen the muscles we've been contracting throughout our run and return them to their ideal length. Again, this helps with our proper movement mechanics and skeletal support throughout our day. If you are finding that you experience a lot of chronic injury or pain during exercise, or just like in day-to-day generally, it's a really good indication that when you're exercising or running, you should first start by checking your form, personal trainer, to make sure that you are moving correctly, because that is the game changer. If we're moving incorrectly, we're working the wrong muscles, things are forming across the wrong lines, it's just bad news bears. So make sure you're moving correctly. And then B, start to adjust. If you already have a warm-up cool-down, adjust it or add a warm-up cool-down regimen into your runs or workouts. Another way, just before I get off this, because it is just so important, especially, like I said, sitting, running, sitting is crazy for our body. Another way to think of going from sitting to running is like thinking about a long piece of taffy. And I don't even know, do they have long pieces of taffy? You could do like a liquor, something that's bendy, right? Thinking of a long piece of bendy candy. When it's warm, aka after the warm-up, you can rotate it, you can bend it, you can move it around. But if you were to pop that puppy in the freezer and freeze it, which is essentially what we're doing when we're sitting in one position all day, we're freezing and locking our muscles. Once you grab it out of the freezer to move it in the same way when it was warm, suddenly it's rigid and most likely it's going to snap and break. My YouTube channel that I mentioned before also has some great warm-up videos and 10-minute yoga flows that are wonderful additions into your day regardless of whether or not you're going to run. So I'm going to add that too so that we can just start feeling good. Because again, even if we're not going into exercising, getting movement into our day, stretching out the front of our body, strengthening the back of our body is going to be game changer when it comes to energy, reducing pain and inflammation, sleep, brain fog. It is crazy what happens when we start to unlock our muscles. So back to running. Once we've warmed up our quads and glutes and we've gotten our legs ready to run, the warm-up continues into our actual run. There are a lot of really great dynamic warm-ups for getting your body mechanically ready. So think high knees, butt kicks, Frankenstein kicks, side shuffles, and many, many more that are worth including before you take off into your run proper. And I know this might sound like a lot. You're like, I just want to run. But remember, I don't know, that's just how I sound in my head. So no shade. That's me. I just want to run. A lot of times when I run, I'm like, I don't want to warm up. I just want to run. But I have to remember, right? I tell myself all the time, this is a power exercise. I would warm up before weightlifting. I would warm up before burpees. I need to warm up before I run. So my warm up for when I run a 5K usually looks like about 5 minutes of stretching. So that includes things like static hip flexors, different lunge patterns, and glute bridges and donkey kicks. So 5 minutes of that inside my house. And then I take it outside and I do about 3 minutes of outdoor traveling dynamic warm up. So those are the high knees, the butt kicks, the side shuffles, all that fun stuff. And then we're off. We're running. On the run itself, there are a couple things to think about. I am by no means a running or gait expert, so I'm going to refer you to the Nike Run Club app. That's what I use, and I am obsessed with their coaching. In particular, Coach Bennett has a lot of really well-structured guided runs that help talk you through foot strike, gait, arm swing, eye line, and so much more. That same app also includes a lot of great guided runs for folks brand new to running that I totally recommend. When you are first starting out, it's important to think of running from the standpoint of progressive overload. Just like you wouldn't try to deadlift 200 pounds on our very first deadlift ever, I hope, we shouldn't try to run miles and miles right out the gate, even if we feel like we can. Literally, slow and steady wins the race here. Our muscles, joints, and bones take time to adapt to the impact of striking the hard ground, especially concrete and asphalt and compacted gravel. The power of launching from a single leg, and the force of landing. One of the many reasons shin splints can be so common among runners, aside from bad form, is taking on too many miles at once. Like our muscles, our bones adapt to external stress. They need time to get stronger and adapt to the impact of each strike. And I mentioned that I learned a lot about running the hard way. This is one of the things I learned the hard way was the first time I ran 10 miles. Up until that time, I was cruising at 6 miles and feeling really good. My 6 miles were feeling great. I went out on the run. That day I was feeling particularly great. And I thought, hey, let's push it. I'm already going 6 miles. Let's go one more. And then another. And then another. And suddenly I was at 4 miles. Still feeling pretty good, but my shins were on fire and I wanted to die. The crazy thing, like I sort of mentioned, was energy and breathing wise, I probably could have kept going. My cardio game at that point was really strong because remember, I'd been teaching back-to-back cycling and HIIT classes for years at that point. So that was nothing new, but my bones had never experienced anything like that and they were not conditioned to take on 4 extra miles. Y'all, I was out for 6 weeks with shin splints. It was too painful to walk at first. And let me tell you, progress? Yeah, it might feel slow, but recovery from injury and having to start at the beginning, that feels way slower. So even if you feel like you could whip out a 5K, please, I encourage you to start with 1 mile and build gradually. If you're newer to cardio training, we also have the endurance element to work on. So instead of running the whole time, I encourage you to perform walk-run intervals, so warming up with a walk and then moving into walk-run intervals. You are welcome to choose a certain mileage as your goal, or you can even set a timer for like 10 to 25 minutes as your goal. I personally like timers because I can get really hung up on mileage and it's just a mind game. So if I set my timer for 25 minutes and get my run in, I end up usually doing about the same amount of miles, but without the pressure. So starting off, remember, slow and steady win the race. A couple of good intervals to work on for your walk run. Like I said, warm up with like a 2.5 to 5 minute walk. And then your intervals could be running 1 block, walking 1 block, alternating that till the end of your mile or time. It could be running 1 minute or walk and then walking 1 minute. So 1-to-1 ratio. And after about a week of that or so, when you start getting comfortable, you can change your intervals. So you can start going 2 blocks of running to 1 block of running, or 2 minutes of running to 1 minute of running, and eventually keep building on that. So we're all the way up to 5 minutes of running, 1 minute off. And once you're up to probably about 5 minute intervals, that might be a good time that you can start feeling free to play around with taking out that walk and just trying for a couple extended 5-minute periods of running until suddenly you're running 25 minutes without walking and you're comfortable doing it. And then I would say that's usually generally a pretty good indication that you can play around with adding a little bit of length onto your, or time, depending on which one you're using, into your runs. But again, small increments. My go-to right now, just to give a little perspective for my half marathon in September, after having run consecutively for over 2 years, so I've already been running for a while, is giving myself about a month and a half at each 3-mile increase. So that gives me enough time to build up, but also modulate according to how I feel. So if I need to pull back or take more time in one mileage place, I can. So for 1.5 months, I'll be at 5K. For 1.5 months, I'll be at 10K. 1.5 months, I'll be at 15K, et cetera, until I make it up to that 21K. Training also differentiates as you train for mileage. So your runs throughout the week as you train for longer runs will include a long run, a recovery run or two, and then every other week like a sprint interval. But don't worry about that yet. The point here is that it gets more nuanced with your goal. Right now, I want you working on those walk-run intervals. And if you're loving running, once you get past the point where you're running consistently, find a trained coach to get you to the next level. Like I mentioned, a free version is Coach Andy Bendit on the Nike Run Club app. He was in my ears training for my last half marathon, and I love that guy. But when I got injured a second time pushing my 13 miles, even though I was doing it the right way, just happens, I ended up sourcing out and finding Jason Fitzgerald of Strength Running, whose programs I highly recommend because he puts huge importance on cross training with strength training, especially as you're getting up to higher mileage. So I really like him. He's got some great free resources on his YouTube page, and I'll go ahead and link that in the show notes below for when you inevitably get to that time and place. And the last thing I want to call out here before I run, I'm hilarious, is something that would have made running a lot more fun and sustainable for me early on, if only I knew it. And that is, for the majority of our runs, and I'm just going to go ahead and say this right now at the beginning, for all of your runs, they should not make you feel dead. You should not be pushing the pace, sprinting your heart out, or dropping to the floor. That is not how we adapt to longer, better running. And in fact, it's a great way to injure out. So when you are running, the average perceived intensity on a scale from 1 being I could literally do this all day forever to 10 being hi, I died 8 years ago, please help. We should be on that 1 to 10 scale at about a 4 to 5. We're talking like you should be breathing easy and you should be able to have a full-blown conversation. Coach Andy Beckett always puts it this way, and I love it. You should be able not just to have a full-blown conversation. You should be able to have a full-blown argument with the person next to you, but please don't argue. We love peace here. But the point is, you should be able to breathe. There are definitely benefits of once in a while, including sprints. But again, if we're thinking about this like deadlifting 200 pounds, sprinting would be like deadlifting 100 pounds. We still need to build up to it, and we aren't there yet. That adaptation is helpful to us once we have a foundation, but before then, it isn't worth the damage it can do to our nervous system and our bodies. Kind of like I said back at the top, if you want to build in that weekly zone 5, that high heart rate practice, like I mentioned with Dr. Stacey Sims, heck yes to that. But let's rock it on a rower or a bike for now. Deal? Deal. In the meantime, go ahead and sing yourself happy birthday every once in a while you're running to make sure you aren't for to die. And there we have it. Amazing Raiders. We got through another one. So let's do a quick little recap here. One, this was not an anti-running podcast. This is a make an informed decision podcast and love your body and love what you're doing podcast. Two, we talked about why running in isolation is not ideal for weight loss. And three, we chatted about how to start running the right way if you just love to run or think it'd be a fun goal. Because I will be honest, clocking miles makes you feel like a total baddie. And I love that for you if you love that for you. As always, it means the world to me that you take time to listen to today's podcast. I hope you got something out of it that helps you on your own health and wellness journey. And as always, you would be my GD hero if you took a second to like, review, and or share this podcast. As always, this puppy is just little old me behind the mic and sometimes a snoring chihuahua. I don't know if you heard Potato Chip in the background, but he was sawing logs. Anyway, reviews, shares, those are how the word gets out to help other women start taking care of their bodies in sustainable ways. Last week, I started reading reviews and I kind of loved it. So I have another one coming at you today from my favorite wedding app. That's a cool name. The review is titled Helpful Information. In it, they say, listened to a few episodes and love everything about this podcast. To which I say, my favorite wedding app, I love everything about you. Thank you to everyone who has left a review. I will be reading it in the upcoming podcast. And if you haven't done so already, it would absolutely, absolutely mean the world to me. And like I said, more importantly, help to get it bumped up so more women can find this information. Here is to you and your happy, healthy bodies, because you are so freaking worth it. Until next time, Raiders. Aroo!